Thank you, Miriam. Now will you join me in the scripture reading today, which is 1 John 1, 5 to 10. This is a message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Today on this fourth Sunday of Lent, we meditate on the spiritual practice of confession. And we must admit, the word confession comes with some negative baggage. Most of you probably don't remember, but I talked about the spiritual practice of confession this past September 11th. In that sermon, we focused on Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. That's the passage where some Pharisees and teachers of the law, who were known as pillars of the Jewish faith, the Pharisees and teachers of the law confronted Jesus for eating with sinners and tax collectors. Then Jesus told them the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. That was the text. In a nutshell, I talked about identifying with the sinners and the tax collectors, to identify with the lost sheep and the lost coin. And if you continue on in that chapter from Luke, identifying with the prodigal sons, who were blessed with a loving father. The loving father, of course, is God, and God will never give up on us. Now let's turn to the message of today's scripture passage from 1 John chapter 1. God is light. In God, there is no darkness at all. Well, what does that mean? God is light. Well, God is pure, unstained, perfect in every way. God is holy. The Lord God is worthy of our praise and worship and adoration. As we contemplate the spiritual practice of confession, we find that these statements are one aspect of confession. These statements, God is pure, unstained, perfect in every way. God is holy. The Lord God is worthy of our praise and worship and adoration. That, my brothers and sisters, is a confession. Every once in a while, we embrace and worship what is called a confession of faith. In my opinion, we don't do them often enough. Our purpose statement as a church body is a confession of faith of sorts. Listen to our purpose statement again. As children of God, we are followers of Jesus, who shares God's love with all humanity. There's a lot packed into those 16 words. And we are called to identify 3 to 5 core values. I think some of them can be found in what was removed from the statements that we started with. We wrote and talked about 3 things, worship, service, and mission. They can be a starting point for our core values. I think we can unpack those potential core values by looking at a confession of faith from the back of the blue hymnal. I invite you now, for those of you that are here in this sanctuary, to turn in the back of the blue hymnal to number 713. And I would ask you please to look up when you have found it. I invite you to read these words with me. We believe in Jesus Christ, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory. We believe in God, who raised Jesus from the dead, who created and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver God's people in times of need, who desires everyone, everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of peoples and nations, who continues to love us even when we turn away. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the form of God present in the church, who moves us to faith and obedience, who is the guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those who are renewed in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together. We believe God has made us a people to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage one another to deeper commitment, to proclaim forgiveness of sins and hope, to reconcile people to God through word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love over hate, to proclaim Jesus, the ruler of all, to meet daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of the right, to the ends of the earth, to the end of the age, to the praise of Christ's glory. Thank you. That, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is a confession of faith. We believe in Jesus, in God, in the Holy Spirit. And also we believe God has made us a people, called to do certain things. Might that last paragraph help us identify some of our core values? Inviting others to follow Christ, encouraging deeper commitment to God in our midst, proclaiming forgiveness of sins and hope, reconciling people to people and people to God. That's just a few of the possibilities mentioned in this confession of faith. Yes, confessing our faith here in the safety of our church building and in the potential dangers of the outside community is an essential aspect of the spiritual discipline of confession. Confessing our faith manifests itself in the proclaiming of the good news to others, asking people open-ended questions, listening for common ground, and pursuing the lead of the Holy Spirit. Proclaim the good news. Tell people you come across your reason for your joy and hope. Ask people open-ended questions. Ask them about their experiences with God, with Jesus, with the Spirit, and with the church. Listen for common ground, whether they are Christian in faith, or they are of another faith, or they have no faith at all. Pursue the lead of the Spirit. Don't make assumptions that you already know what to think, say, or do. It's an attitude of humility, knowing what you can accomplish and doing it, while knowing what you can't accomplish and giving that over to God. This kind of confession of faith is vital to our Christian calling. Now let's study another aspect of confession. We remember that God is light. In God, there is no darkness at all. Well, God's light has a way of revealing to us the way we really are. If we are willing to look carefully at ourselves, this aspect of confession is usually called the confession of sins, what Miriam talked about in the children's story, to vocalize and name the ways that we fall short of our confession of faith in attitude, thought, word, and action. In 1 John, we are invited to walk in the light, And in order to walk in the light of God, we must walk together in fellowship with one another. Though we can and should confess our sins to God, we are also called to confess our sins to each other. So I encourage each one of you to find someone to be your spiritual friend, someone you can be real with, someone you could share all your struggles with, someone you're willing to be a sounding board for. This deep sharing helps to provide accountability and a prayer partner. A spiritual friend can also provide a reminder that even as we confess and name our struggles, God is faithful and just to forgive us. And God goes beyond forgiveness and extends to us purification from unrighteousness. This cycle of confession and forgiveness helps us to relate to the people of our lives with mercy and grace when they have hurt us, whether they have done that unintentionally or intentionally. Confession of faith and confession of sins provide the building blocks for humility and loving kindness and mercy and grace and reconciliation and comprehensive wellness. In a word, what we call shalom. Whether we confess with faithfulness or neglect to confess, we are revealed as who we are in the light of God. So I want to close with a couple of images of this revealing nature of the light of God. Okay, one morning I got up and shaved. And I thought that I looked clean shaven. Then I turned on the bathroom light and I knew better. So I shaved again. Once again, I thought I looked clean shaven. Then I put on my glasses and I knew better. So I shaved again. We have each other, brothers and sisters. We can be mirrors for each other. And we have the spiritual practice of confession, both in confession of faith and confession of sins. Let's not shave in the dark without our glasses. In a similar way, washing windows also illustrates the point of the revealing nature of light. There are many people who baldly state that they don't do windows. And they don't wash windows. Why? Because washing windows is notoriously difficult. At the end of my workday at RCAT, I sanitize the inside of the bus. Part of that process is washing the inside of the windows. If I wash them while the sky is overcast, or even when the sunlight is not streaming directly through the window, I may think that they are clean and pristine. But when sunlight directly streams through the window, there are often streaks of dirt that are revealed. And the cleaning process has to happen all over again. Just like shaving. I have to do it every morning. Confession is the same way. As children of God and followers of Christ, we are never done with confession. Though we may be shaving to the best of our ability or window washing as well as we can, we are not perfect. We have not arrived. The journey of faith continues throughout our earthly life. So let's reconcile with one another with kindness and care, because each of us is washing windows in a glass house. Yeah, we tend to wash certain parts of our lives more often. We tend to focus on certain things, hang-ups that we have. And we neglect the rest of the glass house that makes up our lives. So let's help each other wash a little bit more of our glass house than we did yesterday. Let's talk about our faith and our failings so that we can continue on the path of growing to be more like Jesus. That's confession, my brothers and sisters. Amen.